See, Gail, she committed a sin so terrible I just had to preach on it. No, just kidding. That's a joke. But no, what Gail did is she shared a sermon on her Facebook page by one of my favorite preachers, Dan Winkler, on this passage of Scripture. And I listened to that and I thought, ooh, I want to preach on that same passage and share some of that with you all. So if you want to hear a really good sermon on this passage, go to Gail's Facebook page, or you can find it somewhere else, but it's a sermon by Dan Winkler. And if you want to hear a mediocre sermon on it, then keep listening and I'll share that with you. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll dive in this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing love and your grace towards us. Father, we thank you that you have saved us, that you have redeemed us, that you have given a hope that goes beyond this life. Father, we know that in our world today, there are many who are anxious and fearful. And Father, to be honest, we don't really know what the future holds in regards to this virus and this illness and the impact that it's going to have. But Father, we know that you are in control. And so, Father, we pray that you would be with us, be with our church, be with our country, be with our world, as there are people who are suffering with this, Father. Please comfort those who have lost loved ones, Father. And we know that people lose those close to them every day through a variety of different things. But, Father, it certainly comes to our attention when we see a certain disease taking some people's lives. And so, Father, we pray that you would please bless those people who have gone through that. Give them comfort and strength that only you can give. But, Father, I ask now that as we open up your word, we would be able to be free from distractions and worries and anxieties. And, Father, instead, we ask that you would help us to simply look at your truth and understand its value for our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 20,880 dollars. Do you have that number in your head? $20,880. That is the modern day equivalent of how much Mary could have sold her perfume for. In 3 out of the 4 Gospels, we have this account. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13, John chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, and also Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 8. And in all 3 of those accounts, we are told that this woman comes to Jesus and she pours out her perfume on Jesus. And this perfume would have cost in our day around $20,880. The Bible tells us that this perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii. A denarii or a denarius was a single day's minimum wage, basically, for that time. So with our minimum wage, I believe, being $8.70 an hour, if you do the math, 300 of those days gets you $20,880. Now, can you imagine owning a perfume that costs $20,880? And Katie, for my lovely wife, I hope you can imagine it, because that's the closest you're ever going to get to it. We're never going to have a perfume that costs that much. I'm not sure I own anything that costs that amount if I were to sell it. But yet we read in the Gospels that Mary takes this costly ointment, this ointment that was made of nard or spikenard. It was a substance that was extracted from the roots of a plant that grew, I guess, mainly in the Himalayas. And so it was costly to extract from the plant. It was costly to gather. And it was certainly costly to bring it from that area to Bethany, where Mary was. And yet the Bible tells us that not only did she own such a costly perfume, but she was willing to break the jar that it was in, pour the whole amount of it. John's Gospel says about a pound of this. And she pours it all on Jesus Christ. We're told the room was filled with the fragrance. And what Mary does here is she takes what maybe is her most costly of treasures, and she pours it all on Jesus Christ. I hope you have this scene in your head, this picture of what's going on. So let's look at our text a little bit more, and you'll see a little bit more detail here as to why this is so significant. It begins in Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. It says, "Now while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining at a table, and a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. She broke it and poured it over his head." Now, where is Jesus? Jesus is in Bethany. Bethany was a place he often went to, and we learn from John's gospel, a big reason for that was there was a family in Bethany that Jesus was very close to. In fact, you have maybe heard of these people. You've maybe heard of Lazarus, who Jesus raises back to life in John chapter 11. You've heard of Martha, who has this wonderful reputation of being a servant, maybe even sometimes going overboard in how she serves. And then you have Mary, who has this wonderful reputation of being at the Lord's feet, listening to his words, being close to him. But in Mark's account and in Matthew's, we read that it was taking place in the house of Simon the leper. Now, leprosy in that time was a very serious ailment that they did not have a cure for. You did not just go to dinner in the leper's house. In fact, the leper was the person who was under quarantine with like 100 cases of toilet paper in their house, right? That's who the leper is in this time. This is the person that you do not go near. In fact, God gave laws about leprosy, and you can read about these in Leviticus chapter 13. He says that the leprous person who has this disease, they need to wear torn clothes. They let their hair hang loose. So everyone who looks at this person would automatically say, that person's a leper. You can tell by their clothes. You can tell by their hair. And as they walked about and anyone was near them, they had to put the hand over their mouth and they would say, unclean, unclean. And we're told that they had to dwell outside of the camp alone in their own house. And so if Jesus is having a meal at the house of Simon the leper, that means Simon the leper is no longer the leper. Simon the leper has been cleansed. Now, it doesn't take much imagination to figure out how that happened, how that disease was removed. And so Jesus presumably is having a meal here in his honor. In fact, in John chapter 12, we're told that Lazarus was there. Lazarus that Jesus had risen up from the dead, and it said that because of this, they were having a meal. Martha is serving, Mary is there. And so Jesus is being given the great honor of a meal because of his power, because of his miracles, because of the great love and power that he has shown to these people. But what we see as we read on is that the meal is not even the greatest honor that Jesus has given. What we see next is this woman who is unnamed in Mark and Matthew, but in John we're told is Mary. She is the sister of Lazarus, the sister of Martha. And she comes and she takes this precious ointment, this perfume, and she empties it on Jesus Christ. Now, you might think everyone would look at that and say, yes, let's honor Jesus. Let's praise Jesus. He brought the dead to life. He cleansed the leper. He's given sight to the blind. Right? He's fed the 5,000. He's done all these things. So let's honor him. But look at the text. And notice what response you see in Mark chapter 14. And verse 4, it says, "There were some who said to themselves indignantly." That word indignant is a word that means they were angered. They were vexed. They were frustrated. They were annoyed at what just happened. And so they say indignantly, look at this, Mark 14 verse 4. "Why was the ointment wasted like that? It could have been sold for 300 denarii. Maybe more than 300 denarii, and that could be given to the poor." And it says they scolded her. A word that means they rebuked her sharply. They criticized her. Now, in John's account, it just says there were some there who were indignant and who scolded. In Matthew's account, it says the disciples were indignant and they scolded her. And in John's account, you see who maybe is at the heart of all this. It's Judas Iscariot, who, it says, did not really care about the poor, but he was in control of the money, and he used to help himself to a little bit of that money. And so some are there with impure motives, saying, hey, we could have sold this and given it to the poor. And by the way, we're poor. You know, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We could have used that money. Now, I don't know if there's a connection here, and I certainly can't prove this. But in Luke chapter 10, you read this story of Jesus is at someone's house, Martha is serving, and Mary is there at the feet of Jesus. Luke doesn't record this account of Jesus being anointed, and so I wonder if maybe he's even referring to this similar circumstance. Again, I can't prove it. I don't know that for sure. I'm just wondering. But in that account, it's quite fascinating that Mary is at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, just like she is here in our account when she's anointing him. Martha is serving, and she turns to the Lord, and she says, Lord, get Mary to help. Right? Tell her to stop sitting there. Get her to help me serve. And I wonder maybe if even her own sister Martha is looking at her with indignation here. The point is, everyone is looking at this woman who has just poured out this very costly perfume worth a year's wages, and they say, what a waste. What a sad, pitiful waste that she would pour this out on Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm honest, sometimes I'm tempted to agree with the disciples for a moment. Because I look at this and I say, well, I mean, they're not wrong. You could have sold that and given it to the poor. I mean, $20,880. If you had that and you could give it to the poor, or you could just, quote unquote, throw it away by pouring it out on someone, well, which would you do? And we might be tempted to say, you know, the disciples have a really good point. But let me phrase this a little bit differently. Let's not just think about Mary pouring out a perfume. Let's say it this way. Mary gave her costly, expensive treasure to Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, is that a waste? Is it a waste for us to give our best and our most to Jesus Christ? Is that a waste? No. In fact, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, the disciples looked at this, and their treasure was not really with Jesus Christ. They looked at this and they said, we could have used this for so many things. And maybe the question they asked is, couldn't Mary have used a cheaper perfume? Couldn't she have just maybe used a fraction of the perfume? Jesus has another encounter with someone in the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, we have a rich young man who comes to Jesus. And he says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. Right? Obey the commands. And he says, I've done all these things. And Jesus says, you lack one thing. If you want to be complete, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. See, Jesus' issue is not with giving to the poor or not giving to the poor. He says you're always going to have the poor, and you should always be giving to the poor. But the point here is that there were some people who had their treasure on earth. There were some people who had these costly perfumes, who had these extravagant things, and they loved them so much that they were unwilling to sacrifice them to Jesus Christ. And so the young man goes away sad because he had great treasure. But Mary pours out her greatest treasure on Jesus Christ. Jesus is looking for people who are willing to pour out their costly treasures on him. But you say, wait a minute, Ben, I don't have that kind of money. I don't have that kind of perfume. I can't give Jesus something like that. Well, while you're in Mark, look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. It says that Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people pouring money into the offering box. And many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him. And he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. You see, Jesus is not asking you to be a millionaire and give that money to him. Jesus is not asking you to do something that is impossible for you. But what Jesus is asking is for us to be people who are totally submitted, totally devoted, and totally sold out for him. See, this is not just about money. This is not just about perfume. This is not just about our material possessions. This is about pure, uncalculating devotion to Jesus Christ. Let me read you a quote that I came upon in the Tyndale commentary series. And this was on the one for Mark's gospel. The author writes, "The attitude of Jesus, both to this costly gift and to the widow's slender gift, were fundamentally the same. He regarded both gifts as priceless. But he accepted such giving as right and natural. This is a strange reversal of earthly values. The world despised the widow's coins as too small, and it criticized the anointing at Bethany as exorbitant and wasteful and unrealistic. What the disciples said about the value of the ointment and the need for the poor was perfectly true, but what Jesus was looking for was uncalculating devotion to himself." And so what I want to challenge you with before you leave here this morning, don't settle for a cheaper perfume. But instead, give Jesus your pure, uncalculating devotion. Let me give you three areas of your life to think about. The three T's here: your time, your treasure, your talent. Have you totally given Jesus those areas of your life? Let's start with the one that people get the most angry about when I preach. Let's talk about our treasure, our money. Do we have the attitude that everything we have is a gift of God, it's His to use, and we will use the things God has given us for His glory and for His kingdom? Or do we have the attitude that says, it's my money, I worked for it, and I'll give God some, maybe I'll even give Him 10%. But it's mine. You see, sometimes we get into this attitude of saying, yes, Jesus died for me, He loves me, He gave everything for me, but I couldn't possibly give everything for Him. You know, we're quick to look at these accounts Jesus has, and when Jesus talks to the man who wanted to test Him about what's the greatest commandment, Jesus says, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, we're perfectly happy to say that applies to everyone. But when Jesus looks at this rich young ruler who He says, sell everything you have and follow me, we say, that only applies to him. That couldn't possibly apply to me. Excuse me. You see, Jesus is not looking for people who will just give Him our leftovers. Jesus is looking for us to be willing to give our treasure. As a congregation, God has blessed us financially right now. We are in a position we do not need to worry. In fact, we had a very quick and speedy sale of that other building on Yager Road, the East Side building, and God has provided for us. But let me challenge all of us, and especially you men who are functioning as the leaders of the congregation right now. Are we going to use that money simply to have it in the bank to say, you know what, even if there's only five people here, we can keep the doors open and we can keep the preacher paid. And we can just survive as long as we possibly can. Now, I'm all for keeping the preacher paid. Let me make that clear. But we need to make sure that we are willing to use the treasure that God has given us for His kingdom, for His glory, for the gospel. We want to see souls saved. And if we just sit on that and do nothing, it's probably not going to be used to reach people with the gospel. And so we need to consider how to use our treasure for God. But what about our time? What about our time? Again, sometimes we have the attitude, I gave God my hour on Sunday morning, or maybe if I'm really good, I gave Him several hours on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday, and it's even, you know, in the middle of this great pandemic and we're all going to die, but I still came to church, right? I gave God my time, and that's enough. Well, again, God is not looking for us to say, I met my quota. I gave what I had to give. No, Mary poured out an exorbitant amount of perfume that she did not need to give, but yet she gave willingly. And I have to ask us, are we willing to submit our time to Jesus? And that doesn't just mean attend church services. That means, am I spending time in the Word of God, in prayer, in encouraging one another, in serving, in worship? Am I devoting my time to Jesus? And then lastly, what about my talent? What about the things that God has given me and equipped me with? Am I using those things to serve Him? You know, Mary could have said, I'm just going to keep this perfume for myself. You know, I would imagine she didn't acquire it all at once with it being so costly. I don't know. Maybe they were very wealthy. But she could have said, you know, I'll just use a little bit here, a little bit there. This perfume will last me for years. But instead, she's willing to use what she had. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. And we love to look at those passages and say, but those are talking about miraculous things, things we don't have anymore. So we couldn't possibly use them. But church, God has given us things. He's given us things we can do. He's given us things that you can do. And the point is, if God has given you something, use it. Use it. And so, church, let's not settle for a cheaper perfume. Let's not justify in our minds that we could just give God a part of our life without giving Him everything. We, as God's people, give everything to God because He gave everything for us. Notice back in Mark chapter 14, what Jesus says in regards to the criticism of this woman. He says, why do you trouble her? Leave her alone. She has done a beautiful thing. Verse 7, He says, for you will always have the poor with you. Whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. There's an interesting point that I was contemplating when studying this passage. Jesus says that what she was doing was anointing my body for burial. In the gospel accounts, you read that when Jesus was placed in the tomb, several groups of women, or a group of several women, I should say, went to the tomb to anoint Him with spices and oils. They wanted to anoint His body. And you know what? None of those women were able to do that because His body had already risen. But there was one woman who was able to anoint Jesus' body for burial. And that was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She did what she could, and she did not miss her chance. Jesus said, "You'll always have the poor, you'll not always have me." There will come a time in which you and I no longer have a chance to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us it's appointed for once for man to die, and after that, the judgment. And so many people in our world today, and maybe you've been in this situation, you sit there thinking, tomorrow I'll get right with God. Tomorrow I'll come to Jesus. Tomorrow I'll have my sins washed away. At some point I'll get these things straightened out. But I've still got time. I've still got time. I've still got time. And folks, we don't know how much time we have. The Lord could return any minute. We might not even finish this service. He could return. We could all get corona and die. I have no idea, right? We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know, and I hope you know, that right now, as you are listening to this, you have a chance to get right with God. Don't waste that chance. Jesus said, "You will not always have me." And there will be a time in which people will no longer be able to come to Jesus Christ. If you have never been baptized and had your sins washed away, I would encourage you to do that. If you want to know more, please talk to me, you know, get in touch with us. Let us work with you through this, because we don't want to waste time. We don't want to delay. Get yourself right with the Lord. And for all of those who are listening and who are already Christians, who have already been saved, let me again ask you, are you giving your most expensive perfume to the Lord, or are you settling for something cheaper? If there's anything going on in your life that we could help you with, if we could encourage you or pray for you, if you need to get right with the Lord, we would love to help you. If you need to respond for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.